the Senate Revenue Committee, Valentine's Day, Oregon's birthday, Monday, February 14th. Today, committee, we're going to do an update on the charges and fees, and it was an issue that's definitely arose in the last few years, an increase in charges and fees as the tax rate has fallen, and we've discussed this a great deal in the Revenue Committee, and so we want to get an update from the Department of Administrative Services, who has gone out and done a report on this very issue of charges and fees here in Oregon. And Paul, looks like you have some stuff in front of us.
Mr. Chair, just I made a copy of the bill, Senate Bill 333, from the 95 session, and you'll see some great names in the pantheon of Senate revenue history there at the bottom of that. But Senate Bill 333 came through the Revenue Committees in 95, and it established a process for fees, and that's being used by DAS and LFO and working on the budget. But one of the requirements of that bill was Section 3 there that I made a copy of. And what that does is require DAS to report no later than January 15th of each odd-numbered year a report setting forth detail of all fees, charges, purposes, persons affected, statutory authority of the fee or charge, the amounts collected, and so forth. So we have tended to, DAS has dutifully sent those reports to myself and to our legislative fiscal officer, but we haven't really used them or looked at them in any kind of a way. And so given the interest of the committee and kind of overall use of charges, I had asked DAS if they could put together some summary information for you, which is based on a pretty big database. And that's what they've done, and put this together as to what information we have. I think one of the things that the committee probably needs to talk about is this the kind of information that's useful, or are there some other kinds of information that might be more useful? So I've invited Kelly Friels from DAS to put this together. He and I have met several times, and they've put a lot of time in on this.
Well, we welcome you. It's been, as Paul said, an area that we've asked for this information because we've sat at these chairs in the interim and last session and debated as we've seen the fees increase.
Right.
Just what makes up those fees? We hear tuition and this and that. So, Mr. Friels,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Glad to have you.
For the record, Kelly Friels with the Department of Administrative Services, and I'm with the Budget Management Division. Happy Valentine's Day, I guess.
Thank you.
As Paul mentioned, I'm here to discuss the actual fee report, and I'm going to be discussing some elements of it. You should have two handouts. One of them is the PowerPoint presentation with my name on the front, which I will go through. And I also have an 8.5 by 14 double-sided piece of paper to give you an indication of the fee report itself. This is, I guess, two pages out of a document. We think there's someplace between 65 and 75 pages. No one's had enough time to print all this out. I don't think they've had an interest. So just to give you some indication of the information that is provided in this report and some indication of how many fees we're dealing with. I'm going to cover three areas. One, what the statutory requirements are. Two, give you some results from the 2003-05 report that was submitted to the legislature in January, and then finally end up with some observations or comments. And I'd be happy, Mr. Chair, to have people ask questions during my presentation or at the end, whatever works best for you.
If we could, just ask as you go.
Perfect.
We like to do that.
That works very well for me. Let's start out on page 2 of the presentation document. As Paul mentioned, the 1995 legislature did pass this legislation through Senate Bill 333. In that bill, they defined what was a fee and what was not a fee. And essentially, fees were considered to be essentially cost recovery for specific or dedicated purposes, where a lot of the other type actions were not considered fees, such as fines and civil penalties, sales of products, interest penalties and charges, interagency charges between states or between state agencies. So with that, on page 3, there were a number of requirements in House or Senate Bill 333. The third one down is the one that Paul mentioned that we'll be discussing today, the requirement that we do provide to the Legislative Assembly at the beginning of each of your sessions, January 15th, this report that identifies, and moving to slide 4 or page 4, identifies a number of characteristics or information about the fee. First of all, we're required to identify what the name of the fee is. And as you can see in this report, we do that. Also, we have to identify the purpose, who's affected, what the statutory reference of the fee is, and then provide some information about the fee. What was the revenue amount from the fee last biennium and the current biennium and in the future biennium for the 2003-05 report. The information is from the 2001-03 biennium for past. Present is the 2003-05, obviously, and then the 2005-07 is the future biennium. And moving to slide 5, I guess the major point I want to make here is that there really is an intersection. There is not an intersection between this fee report and the budget process we use for crafting the governor's budget and evidently for crafting the legislative adopted budget based on conversations with both Paul and Ken Rocco. So what we do is require the agencies in December to come forward and update all their fee information. And then that fee information is compiled in a database and we ship it over to you folks electronically by the January 15th deadline. And I'm going to have some observations about that practice in a couple minutes. But first, what I would like to do is just go through the information that was you received in summary form in the 2003-05 biennium, or for the 2003-05 biennium. So if you turn to the sixth slide, there are approximately 2,500 fees in this database.
How many?
2,500.
So that's how many fees we have in Oregon.
Yeah, in this database. There are probably more fees, but I think potentially there are some fees that are exempted from the process. That's still a question in my mind.
Paul? Mr. Chair, there are a number. One of the probably the biggest area in terms of dollar amounts is higher education and OHSU are both exempted from this report in the statute. So. Right. You don't see those numbers, which would be, of course, a big part of total charges and fees in the budget.
Hmm. And then cities and counties and schools would not be included in that.
No, Mr. Chair. All we're talking about are fees related to state agencies, for this particular report.
Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is beginning to decorate the walls of my office in the long hand form.
You must have been in the office.
And have you seen it? Yeah, you're going to have to come down and see this. And as they keep printing them off, we keep adding to it. But we noticed the same thing, that there were a substantial number of fees that we had thought of that are actually not reported on this one.
If I remember correctly, Mr. Chair, the original legislation identified a fairly extensive list of fees that should be included, and then the 1997 legislature, after some experience, had some exemptions to what was included because they were wanting to, some fees they didn't feel like were appropriate for this conversation, I guess. So let me go through slide 6, which I think is illustrative of where the fees are located. This is a slide that describes things from a program area basis, so a clump of agencies with a common purpose. So you can see that about 80% of the fees are in two major program areas. You look over in the natural resource area, 42% of the fees are in natural resources, and that's just a little over 1,000 fees. And you're going to primarily see those fees in agriculture and DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality. And then if you move on the other side of the pie chart, you can see the other major program area is consumer and business services, the regulatory functions of state government, and just under 1,000 fees in this particular program area. Moving to the next slide, you can see the remaining 20% are surrounding other program areas. We further broke this down into, now that you've seen it from a program area perspective, now look at who are the top agencies as far as the number of fees. And you can see that this pie chart is dominated by Consumer and Business Service and Natural Resource Agencies, where you have, as you go around the pie chart, you have Department of Environmental Quality with 17% of the fees, a little over 400 of the fees are in Department of Environmental Quality. The Department of Consumer and Business Services, that department that provides the regulatory functions for your finance, your banking, your workers' compensation, and also building codes. So you have a little under 600 fees just in that particular department. And then Department of Agriculture, where you have all the agricultural commissions as well as some of those, the weights and measures and animal inspections, et cetera, has a little under 500 fees, 18%, and then Fish and Wildlife has 4. And then our health licensing boards, I'm going to the top of about the 1 o'clock position, our health licensing boards, those eight that are dentists and chiropractors and those folks have a little over 300 fees. So this, again, just describes in very general purposes where the fees are located in state government.
Mr. Frales?
Certainly.
And I probably should know the answer to this, but do you know, can the agencies increase fees on their own by rule, or does that usually or always require legislative action?
Yes, Mr. Chair. If the legislature has given them administrative authority to do it, that through the 333 process, even if we do it administratively, then the legislature has to ratify those increases before they are a long-term proposition through the Ways and Means process.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, I guess since we've been tracking this since 1995, have you seen a real uptick in these fees in the last 5 or 6 years? As general fund cuts have gone through, suddenly I look at the big agencies here and the fee structure, and what I guess is that a lot of the income or some of the income has been made up in fee increases.
Mr. Chair, I think that the trend is much longer than that. When I think back in the 80s, during that recessionary period, there were a lot of to answer your question is yes, that there was a lot of move in central government charges. I know the Department of Administrative Services was financed with general fund in the 80s, and then there was a move to equalize that cost out to all of state government, which essentially moved it to an assessment approach where other fund agencies also participated in the cost. And then we've seen early 90s, a movement in natural resource agencies away from general fund into fees. So, yes, not only on the short term, but also on the long term, a movement in that direction as discretionary resources become has constraints, you move to other revenue sources. And I'm also hearing the same conversation take place this legislative session also.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of conversations. A lot of time we get to a point where there are very few opportunities for revenue sources that are already being fully utilized. So, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I go to slide 8, and this is a slide whether we questioned whether we wanted to provide this information to you or not because of its tentative nature. We actually went through and looked at all the individual fees and just based on our own assessment determine what percentage of the fees went to the general public, what percentage were professionals, what percentages were businesses, And if you had someone else go through, we might have a slightly different configuration, but you can see, based on our analysis at least, that the business, the fees paid by businesses makes up about 57% of the fees, in general public 20, and professionals or professional organizations 23%. And then finally, maybe, Mr. Chair, to answer to your question to a certain degree, for this particular report, for the 2003-05 biennium, you can see the status of fees, where 87% of the fees stayed the same over this time period. 3%, or about 75 new fees, were established. 2% were abolished, or in the range of 50 fees were abolished. Of the existing fees, about 6% were increased and about 2% decrease. So, again, giving you some flavor of what the dynamics are within the fee structure. And boiling it down even further, this last slide, and I'm not going to go through each of these bar charts, but look on the far right-hand side for the health licensing boards. And in total, there are 324 fees for the health licensing board. And you can see that the vast majority remain flat, 248 remain flat. They did establish 12, abolish 6, increase 34, and decrease 24. So again, you can see for some of the major agencies, a perspective of what has changed, at least for this reporting period. So that's my overview of what the 2003-05 report gives you. Now some observations, I guess, to end my presentations, or my presentation. As I pointed out, there is no intersection between this fee report and the budget process that we use as far as analyzing the governor's budget for determination of what the governor needs to recommend. So it doesn't become a tool for us. And it also comes, the compilation of this fee report comes at a time of a fairly intense workload period for us in the November-December period. So we don't do the quality control of the information, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to hand out this 8.5 by 14 display, because if you look through these fees, you can see that there's some required fields that aren't filled out. For instance, the past, present, and future bienniums, and in some cases we have zeros, and there may be very good reasons for that. That we at this time don't go through a review with the agency to determine what those reasons are and provide footnotes, primarily because we presented this report to the legislature for 3 biennia and haven't gotten any feedback to suggest that anyone's using it. And during a heavy workload period, as you folks know, you spend your time where you're going to get the best bang for the buck.
Seems so, like most of these are zeros.
Yeah, well, I had to pick out a page, Mr. Chair, that had a lot of zeros on it to illustrate my point.
So those fees aren't being used?
I wouldn't make that suggestion, Mr. Chair. I would suggest that these fees are being used, but the information was not compiled for the report.
No.
I don't know that for a fact, but...
That's your guess.
That's my guess, and again, if we looked at all 65 pages, I think you'll find that the vast majority of this report is completely filled out by the agencies. I wanted to make a point about the quality control, so I picked out a page that illustrated my point that it's not 100%, that we are not doing the quality control on it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, as Mr. Warner already pointed out, the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Legislative Revenue Office, if they don't pay for their walls with it, that might be a better idea. But we did have the conversation of us having to pay for their computer paper because of the number of pages. It was taking the fact that they had to turn the computer off halfway through because they got tired of waiting for the report to come out. So I don't have one of the questions I anticipate to be answered is what's the cost to state government to produce this? And I don't obviously have that information, but obviously there is a cost for producing this. And because there is a cost from the executive side, from folks that always have to work with this information, We want to make sure it's a report that we can use and that you folks can use. So we appreciate the opportunity to come over here and have that conversation with you. So that completes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. I have just a couple of questions. One, you know, it occurs to me in Section 3, Paul opened this up by giving us the section that we, although it was none of us present at the time, required this report, which it seems valuable in some respects, but I guess I'm curious, how many folks or FTE have to administer this section in DAS?
Mr. Chair, we have a clerical person that sends out the information, the requirement to the agencies, and then compiles it, and I don't have specific, it's not a significant amount of her time. I think most of the time would be with the agencies. And we already know the agencies have to keep track of their fees anyway, so what the added cost is for this report, I don't know.
So do you think it is as simple as that, as you have annually or biannually?
Biannually.
So that
I don't think if I looked at all the costs associated with providing information to the legislature, I wouldn't see this as a significant cost. The question more is if at any cost can we afford in these times of constraining budgets to provide something that isn't usable.
Mm-hmm. And the big question that I had that's not answered in the short report, mm-hmm, is a lot of our debate has been, well, how much is tuition of that overall 100% fees? We've seen fees go up. We're aware of that. And then the immediate retort is, well, tuition is the lion's share of those fees. And so I don't know if you have kind of a breakdown of what comprises 100% of the fees that's alluded to in here.
Mr. Chair, we've excluded tuition from any analysis. What I did do, and I kind of anticipated you could ask this question.
Okay.
Didn't know whether I wanted to answer it. We don't have the fee database isn't tied into our technical budget system. So this comparison probably isn't an apples-to-apples comparison as far as where the dollars go. But we excluded higher education tuition from the analysis. If you make that exclusion and you look at what we consider to be license and fees income in our budget process, we see that over 50% of the fees are in Department of Transportation, where you have vehicle and driver's license fees. And then consumer business service, that makes up about a little over 50% of the fee income the way we have it described in our budget database. And then consumer business services and natural resource agency fees are about 20% each. So about 80 to 90% of the fees, excluding higher education, would be in transportation, in natural resources, and consumer business services are regulatory functions.
So who can answer that question? How much is tuition?
Oh, we can provide that information for you, Mr. Chair. And I think, well, actually, Paul can get that information from legislative fiscal, because we have a handle on that.
Mr. Chair, we track the other fund revenue sources of which that will appear, and I can make a copy of that for the committee. We have a little bit of history on that, but it's we don't have a good series that breaks it down by detail, but we can go back and reconstruct a couple of biennium, but that is in the governor's budget. The way the other funds revenues are reported is there's a for example, in the 05-07, we will have an 01-03 actual, an 03-05 estimated, and an 05-07 recommended. So we have that data, and we have charges and fees broken down as Kelly has described it, but also would have higher ed amounts in there. One of the things about higher ed is that there is not only tuition, but there is also significant other fees associated with higher ed. I did receive a call from higher ed about this meeting and saying they would be happy to come in at a later time and talk about their charges and fees and kind of trends, if that's something the committee would like to explore a little further.
Senator Starr.
I think that would be good for us to take a look at that. They probably could make a presentation to us in a half hour or less.
We'll tag them on at some appropriate day. That's been the big, the question, so Paul, that would be good to get that data to know. Just if not tuition, then just what is higher ed? I mean, the debate that we've had in this room for 3 years, or question is, fees have gone up. How much of it is higher ed? And we know that a good portion is higher ed, but it'd be good to have shed some clarity to that and then where they are. Other comments or questions? Senator George.
Yeah. Paul, this would probably be for you. When you see an analysis like Governing Magazine, and they'll say we're number four, or we're number six, in out of all the states in the total of fees collected, do they include in that the higher ed numbers as they're making that measurement?
Senator George, yes, they do. I think those kind of comparisons come from the Census of Governments data that you've seen and that we provided the committee. And remember that the charges for services, as it's called in the census, we were ranked seventh per capita in that data. The largest component of that is higher education. That's the largest component of charges. The second is health and hospitals. So there's OHSU would come in under that, but. And it's quite a broad category. It's anything associated with publicly affiliated health services or hospitals are included in that category. It's even when you buy something at the gift shop at the hospital, that shows up in there as data. So, but yes, we do rank high on that census data. I'm pretty sure that's where that came from in the Governing Magazine.
Other thoughts, Senator Brzezinski?
Mr. Chair, I was upstairs. Sorry I'm late, but I was listening to this, and I'm glad I came down here. The biggest question I have is regarding this sheet here. What size font are
we looking
at? Yes. I mean, it's telling me I might need to get new computer glasses.
I think it's two.
Senator Fernandez, I'm surprised it took you guys this long to ask that question.
I
don't know, but it's totally unreadable. That's what I would say. Kind of illustrate a point. And I'd also like to point out, I don't know whether you heard or not, that we think there's someplace between 65 and 75 pages of this.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow. We get page 2 through 6.
I'll get the next magnifying 75.
I hope it's usable for you.
Anything further? Thank you very much.
Thank you,
if you have any, we would certainly, if you have recommendations, it sounds to me, one of the questions that we wanted to answer is Section 3 necessary? We want to know about the fees, but we want it to be in a manner that, and you guys would be have the expertise in that, that is digestible by the legislature and not too burdensome on the other important things that you do.
I think I would have that conversation with, your legislative revenue and legislative fiscal offices about what's the type of information they need in order to do the analysis for you folks for your deliberations. And I know we work very closely with the legislative fiscal office in our analysis during the governor's process of the fees and provide that information to them for their further analysis during this process. So maybe a conversation between you folks about what information works best for your analysts might be appropriate.
Senator George and then Paul.
When we pull this down, I believe we're pulling it down off the web. I wish I had my staff here to tell me that all the stuff was available on the web, or we're having to go to your website to get that, and would that maybe be the most efficient way to transmit this information?
It'd
be for us to go look at it rather than you providing a report.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Chair, Senator George, none of this is on the web that I'm aware of. There may be information on individual agencies, but we actually ask the agencies to download this to a DAF database. And then we dump it off.
So you forwarded something to us? And
we send it to you in email, a large email.
Okay.
And that's where we get into a problem.
Large.
We actually start printing it out. We run into problems with printer capacity.
Paul?
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on Kelly's point about working with the fiscal office on this, I have had some conversations with Ken Rocco, and they're working on other elements of the original 333 in terms of how the fee process, how fee adjustments are made during the interim, for example, and the approval process. But we've also talked about the report, and one of the obvious things to us is that the dates, I think we could come up with dates that would be more useful in terms of the process. One of the things we talked about was having this report done perhaps after the legislatively approved budget is done, in which there would be information that would be associated with the budget, and you could tie that back in more closely with what's going on in the That's overall spending and budget decision. So we'll talk some further, and I'll be back before the committee with some recommendations based on those discussions.
That is a good thought, because as you roll out the budget, it would be good to roll out where the fees are in that budget at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it would give us an opportunity to do some, as Kelly pointed out, the quality control, but to for us and DAS to do some work in the interim would be, I think, more meaningful than just kind of dumping all the data.
Exactly. I mean, more analysis would be than just 68 pages
of garbage. Thank you.
You said it, I did it.
Well, we fully admit it. I mean, it's they're on neither side of is this a usable document for analysis, and I think that's what you folks are looking for.
Exactly. It would be probably, well, I guess we've said it. It's just how do you take those 67 pages and translate it into something that the font is, even where Senator Przanski can read it, which is going to be a big task.
Yeah. I was really surprised. I looked at everyone here, and no one was complaining. I figured the chair could read this, but the rest of us. There's a point of page where magnification.
It's like the speeding tickets in Coburg. It's their similar size font. And,
they get probably just as many pages, though.
That's true. That's true. Well, thank you very much. For those of you who are in the two overflow rooms listening in to this this committee, we are now on our way to adjournment. Paul or anyone else before we clock out? Senator George.
Mr. Chair, I suppose I could do that after we tap the gavel, but we were, when the folks from the Treasurer's Office were in with, I believe, 21 and 22 and 24, they had, when I was watching that tape, they promised to get us some information. I was sick last week. Do you know if they delivered any of that information back to us? If not, could we double-check to make sure they supply that? Yeah, there were two or three times they said, we'll get you that information.
Senator, there was the main one that I recall was Senate Bill 22, in which there was they were to come back with a set of information in terms of the discussion was around what kind of constraints would you put on the amount of funds that could be managed internally by the Treasury rather than contracted out, and they did a survey of other states. They provided that to us in legislative revenue. And we have that bill scheduled for a work session on Wednesday. So we were going to make that available to the committee on Wednesday during that discussion.
Right.
We are adjourned.